As we mark 10 years since the start of the war in Iraq, we'll be bringing you stories of rebuilding efforts in that country, how Iraqis themselves carry forward the legacy of this war. Today, we begin by looking back at the U.S. military efforts in Iraq, principally whether counterinsurgency can be called a success there. On the line with us is Madeline Brand, host of this month's America Abroad episode at Public Radio International. Her episode is called A Decade at War, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Counterinsurgency. It begins broadcasting on public radio stations on Friday. Madeline Brand, welcome to The Takeaway.
I'm happy to be here.
So looking back at the Iraq adventure, call it what you will, as far as most Americans are concerned, particularly ones that watched over the last decade, counterinsurgency was something that seemed to have been invented during the Bush administration and brought to us all by General David Petraeus. But nothing could be further from the truth. What have you learned?
Yeah, well, counterinsurgency is something that's been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years of warfare. And what happened, though, was General Petraeus really became enthralled with this idea because he was part of a group of military leaders that grew up after the Vietnam War, in the sense that he took the lessons from the Vietnam War and really studied them and tried to figure out how we could do things differently. And he really engaged in an academic study. And he comes to Iraq, and after the invasion 10 years ago, the place falls into chaos, and Petraeus is sent up to the north to a place called Mosul. And as Fred Kaplan told us, he describes exactly how David Petraeus implemented his ideas of counterinsurgency.
He'd been reading literature on counterinsurgency since he was a junior officer in the mid-70s, and he decides to put it into effect. So he vets candidates for new elections. He sets up the elections. He reopens the university. He opens up the economy. He brings in fuel trucks from Turkey. He opens up the border with Syria, all on his own dime, all without any consultations or orders from above.
Fred Kaplan speaking there. He's the author of The Insurgents, David Petraeus and the Plot to Change the American Way of War. So here Petraeus gets really a gift, in a sense. He gets to go to Iraq at a moment of extreme autonomy, as Fred's describing there, and essentially implement his, you know, PhD thesis. He basically is able to implement everything he's learned on counterinsurgency. Is there a way to calculate how it went at this point?
Well, it went really well there in Mosul. And so when he becomes commander of Iraq and things are going bad elsewhere in the country, back in 2006, he decides, you know, I want to implement this in the Sunni Triangle where there's this big problem. This basically, Iraq is on the verge of civil war. And he comes up with his theory. He rewrites the Army Field Manual to describe all the benefits of counterinsurgency and how it should be implemented. He gets buy-in in Washington. He gets buy-in from leading academic thinkers and from journalists. And then he goes to the president and says, I need a surge. And so President Bush gives him that surge, and he goes into Anbar. And sure enough, the violence goes down. Now, there is now people are still trying to assess whether or not it was all because of his counterinsurgency ideas, or if it was because local Sunni tribe chiefs were sick of having al-Qaeda fighters come into their area, and they themselves were already beginning to organize to kick out these insurgent al-Qaeda fighters. But anyhow, what happens is he gets a lot of credit.
And the lessons, of course, are then temptingly taken elsewhere in the world. You spoke with Colonel John Gentiles, a professor of military history at West Point.
And it was called comprehensive counterinsurgency based on this very compelling narrative that came out of Iraq, that it worked. So the idea is that if you made it work in Iraq, shoot, we can just make it work in Afghanistan if we get the right inputs in place. A few more brigades, get a better general in charge, and it can work just like it did in Iraq.
It sounds like maybe that was wishful thinking.
Right, because the conditions were not the same at all in Afghanistan. You have a very different population, largely illiterate population, a largely rural population. Even the topography is a lot different. And most crucially, for counterinsurgency to work, you have to have buy-in with the legitimate government. You have to have the people actually believe that you're working for a legitimate government that can then take over when you leave. And that is certainly not the case in Afghanistan.
Well, solving this counterinsurgency puzzle is certainly going to be the future for the U.S. military wherever it ends up, yes?
Yeah, well, that seems to be the way of war now, that we aren't fighting the Soviets anymore. We're not going to amass huge brigades on battlefields anymore. We're going to be in places like Libya, like Mali, small skirmishes. But the appetite for counterinsurgency in Washington has dimmed considerably. I mean, you can see with President Obama, he pulled out the troops. He's announcing the end of our engagement in Afghanistan by the end of 2014. And so counterinsurgency, for it to work, takes years, decades. And we, as Americans, don't have the patience right now to be involved in long, drawn-out conflicts. And certainly the president recognizes that. And so what you see now is small military action, largely from the sky, drone attacks, NATO bombings, small special forces operations. We are not in the business of nation building anymore.
And as one of your sources says, combat and war fighting will become quite literally invisible.
Over the course of the last decade, however, through a process of trial and error, the U.S. armed forces have become one of the most effective counterinsurgency forces the world has ever seen. Insurgency is not going anywhere because, as I argue in Invisible Armies, this is the dominant form of warfare. It's always been around, always will be. It's always been ubiquitous, and that's certainly going to continue in the future. So if we ignore how to fight this kind of warfare, I suspect we're going to pay a heavy price for our ignorance in the future.
That's Max Boot, author of Invisible Armies. And so really, the American military, John, is at a crossroads. It has a philosophical debate going on as to what its purpose is. Is it going to be reorganized to fight these small skirmishes, these insurgencies around the world? And if so, how do you do that if you're not going to do counterinsurgency?
All right, Madeline Brand, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Madeline Brand is the host of this month's America Abroad episode on Public Radio International. The episode is called A Decade at War, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Counterinsurgency. It begins airing on public radio stations this Friday.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.